Thank you for joining me today. If you've been with us, then you know I want to bring to a conclusion our discussion on the second temptation Jesus overcame. And as we get going, let me read to you Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Then the devil took Jesus into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to the devil, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." As a reminder, the first thing I did was to teach verse 5, passing along to you insights on how Jesus arrived at the pinnacle of the temple, where the holy city is, how the temple was constructed, and the distance from the pinnacle to the bottom of the Kidron Valley, below this highest of heights. The second thing I did was to teach you verse 6, as we looked at the Bible verses the devil used to tempt Jesus. That's right, the evil one knows the Bible very well. He uses Psalm 91, verses 11 through 12, but he twists them by taking the verses completely out of context and then misapplying them. This is a trap Satan also sets for us, because he knows we, by and large, do not know the scriptures well. So he then uses them against us. But with Jesus, this temptation will not work. And that is when, third, we came to verse 7 and read Jesus' quote from the book of Deuteronomy, which corrected the devil's bad hermeneutic. Jesus said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Our master says, "Do not ever test the living God." With verse 7, Jesus firmly resisted the temptation. I am just looking back on where we have come so far, and I remind you now that, fourth, the devil, in my view, tried to sensationalize the ministry of Jesus Christ. Because if the devil can get Jesus to be only a sensation, then the ministry of Christ will fade and pass away quickly, and Satan himself will live on enslaving people. By sensation, I have meant this, the use of exciting or shocking stories or language at the expense of biblical accuracy in order to provoke public interest or excitement. This is what this second temptation of Christ is about, but Jesus refuses to be a sensation. Fifth, I then drew application for our lives. I said this second temptation is for the global church. Genuine followers of Christ from every tribe and tongue and nation, the worldwide body of Christ. The evil one is leading us right into a big temptation, and that is well sold to us by word of faith healers. They love to sensationalize Christ. Surely you have at least heard their ministries advertised, even if you have not yet attended one of their events or watched it on television, and or listen to their false teaching on the radio and online, or read it in books. Christians are invited to bring people in need of healing to an event in which a leader, often called a faith healer, an apostle or prophet, will perform what they call signs and wonders. For obvious reason, this appeals to people who are sick, because they promise to heal the sick. The promise is given, if you have enough faith, the signs and wonders of God will be on full display, and you will walk away well. But there is a big problem. They make false promises, promises that they cannot keep, because God himself never made any such promise in the Bible. The expense of accuracy is that what God promises concerning healing in this life, through the Bible, is not the same as what these faith healers promise you. It is not. And so here comes the devil. What is he doing? He's making it seem that the sensational is going to happen. God is going to heal you, and you must be a part of it. But when you go, you find that the promises do not match the reality. You come home as sick as you were before you went. Sixth, here is where I gave you 8 foundational beliefs of the Word of Faith healers, and I've highlighted the error within each one using the Word of God. I have covered the first 6, and today we will cover the 7th and 8th, followed by a closing statement on the dangers of the Word of Faith movement. And so with this as background, let's move into the 7th, I believe, erroneous foundational belief. This is it, number 7. The faith healers maintain that healing from God is gradual. Herein lies the problem with their 7th conviction. In the New Testament, every time someone was healed, the healing was instantaneous and it was complete. Go ahead and read your Bible. When Jesus healed and when the apostles healed, all of those genuine, God-willed healings were instantaneous and complete. Let's briefly go back to John chapter 9, where we left off yesterday. This is when Jesus heals the man born blind. Listen to the formerly blind man's testimony. These are his words in John 9, verse 25. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. Oh yes, completely blind from birth, but when Jesus touched him, he was 100% healed for good on the spot. Faith healers believe healing from God is gradual, so that they have a built-in excuse when someone supposedly healed comes back with the same illness later, discouraged and wanting an explanation. They'll say, oh, your healing takes time. If you have enough faith, it will come. Believe God for your healing. But again, this is not biblical. And the eighth and final foundational belief of the Word of Faith healers that we have a little time to look at is this. They say your healing can be lost. And to ensure this does not happen, there are certain things you need to do to keep yourself healed, to make certain your healing lasts. Again, where is this in Scripture? Where? I invite you to do a little of your own research in Scripture, and if you can point me to a reference where this is taught, write to me with it. This is especially true if you disagree with me and are even appalled that I would call out Word of Faith healers as false teachers on this broadcast and podcast. I submit to you the Word of Faith healers are doing precisely what Jesus told the devil we will not do. Listen again to Jesus in Matthew 4, verse 7. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Do not ever test the living God. And I believe that when faith healers promise you healing, then they drag out Jesus and demand that he heal on their command. What they are doing is to test God. And that is sin. Jesus is not a magician. He is not a stage act. He is not to be sensationalized. He did not leap off the pinnacle of the temple, and he is not going to leap off the center stage at a signs and wonders event to perform on demand for you either. Ah, but you ask, Mark, if Jesus is not a sensation, then what is he? I will answer this somewhat fair question from the Bible. Jesus is not a sensation. Jesus is sovereign. Let me say that again. Jesus is not a sensation. Jesus is sovereign. We talked about his sovereignty last time, and let me remind you what Christ's sovereignty means. His sovereignty means that Jesus has absolute rule and authority over all people and circumstances. God is not interested in the sensational. God does not want Jesus' ministry to be sensationalized. What God commands of us is that we worship, obey, and love Jesus with our whole being, whether we are healed of our sicknesses and diseases or not. God commands that we seek his will to be done in our lives. We pray pleading prayers and ask the Lord to heal us. If he does, we praise him and give him the glory. But if he does not, we praise him and we give him the glory. I believe God honors a quiet, peaceful, even small and intimate in number, and certainly orderly, biblically sound, doctrinally solid event or service in which the sovereign Jesus presides, rather than an emotionally charged, loud, chaotic, large, and disorderly, unsound biblically and doctrinally corrupt service or event in which a sensational Jesus is demanded to perform. I believe this with all my mind, heart, and soul based on the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 39, Jesus says, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign." How true that is today. I am afraid the Church of Jesus Christ has become, in many places, both here in America and around the world, obsessed with finding the signs and wonders of God, and have exchanged the worship of the God of the Bible for worshiping God made in the image of exactly who the devil wants God to be. I am very alarmed by this, and I am warning you as clearly as I can to resist the devil. because of the way radio is, such a short time we have together, you may or may not even hear every broadcast. I know that it is quite possible that I may sound like someone who does not believe God can or will heal, but I told you very definitively at the beginning that I do believe with every fiber of my being that God can and will and does heal people today. Yes, He does. But God does it, sovereignly and supernaturally. And I know that it is quite possible that I may sound like someone who does not have enough faith. I'll be accused of this by anyone listening who supports Word of Faith healers. But I can only pray that listening to me over time, it will be obvious to you that I do have faith in God. I believe in Jesus with all of me. And I base that faith entirely in and on the Bible. So every aspect and dynamic of my faith must be deeply rooted in God's holy word. And when the word teaches one thing and a certain movement in Christianity another, my faith sides with God and His word every single time. I know that it is quite possible that I may come off as discouraging you if you need healing, but that will break my heart if you think that. In my ministry, I have always had an abiding compassion on those who are sick and in need of my love, companionship, and prayer. Some of you who listen to me have written to me telling me how sick you are, and I pray for your healing. And I have followed up with you by email and by sending you cards, notes, and letters. But I am not going to sensationalize Christ to prove my compassion. I pray for your healing, but I will trust the sovereign Christ to do what He wants to do in you and in me. It is quite possible that I may sound like someone who thinks faith is unimportant in healing. That is also not true. In the Gospels, Jesus clearly and repeatedly honored the faith of those He healed. But yes, I do reject the way faith is defined and used by Word of Faith healers. This is my heart in all of this, and I hope you will join me again tomorrow as we move on.